Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Good morning. Oh, that was a good bell ringing, wasn't it, today? Yeah. Good to see you all here. Wow, what a beautiful morning. mid-July, sort of mid-July for us. It's good to be back. We did have a good vacation in Arizona, got out of there. I had a couple days of 110, but otherwise it was right at 100, and I'm glad we're not there now. If you've been watching the news and the temperatures of Phoenix, they're pretty hot. And last Sunday, a great service as well. We have flowers. Both of these arrangements on my right are from Marcia Shelsky's funeral service. That was a week or week and a half ago. So we're thankful to Gary and the family for sharing those with us. This over here is not an idol. I'll explain it to you during my sermon. If you were at the park last Sunday, you heard me mention it. So I had to find it in the basement and get it out, and we'll talk about that later. So, some other announcements here, though. Keys for kids. Families, if your child is fifth grade and down and you haven't picked this up, they're in the social hall there against the west wall. Try to remember to do that after church, please. Otherwise, Jennifer will mail them out this week. It started already. I do have a thank you that I want to read, from Andrew and Alyssa Hora. They're the ones, they have a little baby, Eloise, that we've been praying for. She was born with, underdeveloped heart, we'll say it like that. And so they've been up in Ann Arbor, Michigan for 2-3 months, I suppose at least, and will be through the summer. She has another surgery coming up, I think the end of the month here somewhere, little Eloise. And at our VBS program, we gave half of that offering to them, which was just over $2,600. So there's a thank you that they wrote. Members of Salem Reformed Church, thank you so much for your generosity. We are so blessed to have so many great people that are that care for and pray for little Miss Eloise. Your prayers have given us strength through all of the ups and downs. Eloise is doing well this week. She enjoys her bottles, Passy, singing, reading, and rocking. Our goal is to grow some more, that means Eloise, to grow in weight, some more before the next surgery. We hope everyone is having a great South Dakota summer. Pray for rain. We have been, and God blessed, right? Yes, he did. So, blood drive, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow here in the social hall. In the summer is especially when they really need donors. So Jennifer Herbold's coordinating that. You can talk to her or call the church office to get an appointment or go online. You can do that too. Meals on Wheels, August is our month, our church's month. The calendar is out there Monday through Friday. We deliver meals here in the community. And starting tomorrow, our 75th annual gathering of the Four C's starts in St. Cloud, Minnesota. So I know we're on the road again, right? Ann and I will be heading up this afternoon. Johnny and Lori Whale are going, Shirley Mettler, when this was printed, I didn't quite realize that Kayleen Eisenbry is going also. So they'll be, and Greg and Melanie are up there already because he's treasurer and the board meetings start this afternoon. So we're looking forward to a great week. I'm not sure when everybody else is coming back, but we plan to be back Thursday evening. So just so you are aware of that. Let's see, what else do I need to say? The banquet. Make sure you look at that on the insert. We serve at the banquet on August 9th. That's a Thursday evening, but there's several things we need. Volunteers to make lasagna, people to bring hamburger, Rice Krispie bars, and to work down there. All those sign-up sheets are out there in the social hall. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to worship you with everything that is within us, we lift our voices and our hearts in praise before your throne. For you are the God who is mighty to save, as we just have sung. You're mighty to save. You are the one who does move the mountains. Mountains, things in our lives that seem impossible. You moved them out of the way. You are mighty to save. For you rose and conquered the grave. And so we give ourselves to you. We give our lives to follow you in obedience to your word as we praise your glorious name. Father, we ask as always that you would fill this sanctuary with your spirit, the power and presence of the Spirit of the living God, and move among us and refresh us. Heal bodies that need healing and strengthened and whatever else it might be. For you are God Almighty, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 45. If we stand and sing this, please. Crown him with many crowns. There is, in your hymnals, there's a transition of a key change between verses 3 and 4, so we're going to try to do that today. Him. We'll take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Okay. Morning, Jim. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns now. And great to have Ruben and Jan Torres with us. And I think back in Menno. Yeah, with helping Jan's mom, Gertie. So praise the Lord. Some things I have. The girls, our girls softball, 14 and under. They're in tournament yesterday and today. They won Two games yesterday. Several of the girls are in our church on the team, and they play at 1 o'clock at Springfield today, I believe is the plan. So, also, a big congratulations to Robert and Abby, Shane Fish. Abby had a little baby girl on June 23rd, so I have it wrong in the insert. The 24th is the wrong date. So it is the 23rd. And little baby girl, Shaylee, we have another Shaylee in the church. Shaylee Schultz, except this is Shaylee Jean Shane Fish. 6 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 inches long. And I think this is her first Sunday in church today. Yep. So congratulations. Also prayers for the annual gathering, as I mentioned earlier. Travel. Certainly we praise the Lord for the rains this week. Oh man. Up Tuesday and then what day was it? Friday, I guess. Such beautiful rains. To God be the glory. Clifford Herbolt, he did pass away on the 4th of July, early that evening, and his memorial service will be here this Saturday at 11 o'clock. There'll be lunch following. A lot of times people wonder that, so there is no visitation on Friday evening, so it is just the memorial service here Saturday at 11. So prayers for Lavana and the family. Clifford's daughter, maybe a lot of you know, maybe not all, Clifford's daughter is Peggy Shelsky, the editor of the Scotland newspaper. So if that ties it in for you. Okay, anything else over here? Okay, over here. Yes, whose hand is that? Ality. Oh, Ality. Okay. Can you say that louder? Oh, Camden's birthday was July 4th. Okay. I remember now. Camden Gramco had a birthday July 4th. How old is he? How old are you? 5. Okay, good. 5 years old. All right. Yes, Miss Marie. This coming Friday is Leah Crick's birthday. Let's see, what are you? Teenager. Oh, God bless. And Amber Cross's birthday is the 14th. Okay, yes. Yeah, thank you, Elaine. That, and there is the date of that in the bulletin. I was going to mention it. And the Zoe Care, it's Zoe Care is the Right to Life, Standing for Life group in Yankton, just like Alpha Center in Sioux Falls. And so they're having their dessert fundraiser this Thursday night down at Calvary Baptist Church. So, great. And Elaine helps there, I think, right? Yeah, okay. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we worship you, again, we thank you for the precious rains that you have brought this last week. It just lifts our hearts and our spirits and causes us to rejoice all day, every day, as we walk and see the green and the crops and the moisture and the lawns and gardens. And we say thank you. And Father, we trust you for rains through the rest of the season to bring the crops to fruition, ready for harvest. We ask that you watch over the region against damaging storms and hail, and pray that you're providing rains for throughout the region and those that maybe didn't get it, we lift them up too. Lord, we lift the girls 14 and under softball team going on in their tournament, Menowiz, I guess I'm not sure about Scotland, but and ask that you bless them and help them to play well this afternoon and all for your glory and keep them safe. We thank you for Robert and Abby Shane Fish, the blessing of a beautiful little girl, Shaylee, and we rejoice with them. Thank you for your gift of life, Lord. We have others in the church who have child within their wombs, and we pray for them. know, one in July, Emily here sometime in July, and one in November and December, and we just thank you for doing your miraculous work as you knit these little ones together within the womb and watching over them. We pray, Lord, for the annual gathering, all those many that will be traveling, us by car this time, but many by plane, and we ask for safe travels for them. We ask that you would guide and direct through all the meetings this week and the worship services, that your presence would be mightily manifest in all those settings. We pray for Lavana Herbolt and her family at Clifford's Homegoing, such a dear man. 92 years you gave him on this earth, and we lift them up and ask that you comfort them through this time. Thank you, Lord, for all those names, many names listed in our bulletin. Especially want to pray for Kathy Nuss and Jerome as she goes on with her treatments. I want to pray for Gary and Sally Seiler as he continues to heal from having his leg amputated, and so many others. Lucille Preheim over at Freeman in the care center, and lots of names, Lord. You know them all, and you know the situations, and we thank you for working in their lives. For our nation, Lord, we pray. Thank you for the holiday we just celebrated, for the many prayers that are daily lifted up, asking for revival across this land. For our troops serving at home and abroad, we pray over them, Lord, and thank you for them and their faithfulness and their dedication and their sacrifices for our nation and other nations around the world, that they could enjoy freedoms. Thank you for watching over them all. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 14:34. This was the bulletin verse from last Sunday. It says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Father, we do praise you. So we bring our offerings here into your storehouse, our tithes, our gifts. We're not just placing them in a box in the back, Lord. We're sowing them as seed into your kingdom by faith, knowing that you are our provider. You are Jehovah Jireh in every area of our lives, not just financially, but spiritually, number one, physically, emotionally, relationships. In every area that we deal with, you are the God who is more than enough. Thank you for the blessings that you pour out upon us in such incredible ways. And so we give with joyful hearts in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Thank you. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Oh, that was kind of weak. Good morning. Oh, that was a little better. It's good to see you all. we missed you when we were gone. We're very glad to be home. And we watch the church service on the internet. Do any of you ever watch that at home when maybe you miss church? Any of you ever watch it? Yeah, it was, you don't? Yeah. That's okay, but it's something you can do. Anyway, it was great seeing everybody and all the wonderful things that they did, and the speaker, too. Well, what did we celebrate this week? The 4th of July. It seemed like it went almost a whole week, right? Because all of our things were different. Well, this week, that's what we celebrated. And I brought with me today a flag. And you know what? There's a flag in our church. Anybody know where it is?
Yes.
Where? Right back there. It is. Well, do you ever think about, like, what it all stands for? Do you know how many stars there are? 50 for all the states. 13 stripes represent the first 13 colonies. Very good. You guys are all really smart. Do you know what the colors stand for? What colors are on the flag?
Blue.
Blue.
White.
White and
red.
Do you know what those stand for?
The USA.
Something. You're close. Very close. I looked this up. Yes, United States of America. That's what that stands for. Well, red stands for courage. You know, many men and women had to have a lot of courage to stand up and fight for our country. And we know from history and from even our own history here with some of you that had maybe great-grandparents or people in your life that served, maybe some of them died fighting for a freedom for us. White stands for purity. Purity means to do what's right. We hope and pray that our country will always stand for what is right. Now, blue, kind of what you were saying a little bit, Audrey, stands for justice, for peace. When we pledge allegiance to the flag, we end with what words? With liberty and justice for all. This means that in our country, everyone should be treated fairly and with respect. Well, you know what? These colors remind me of something else, of someone else. What do you think I'm thinking of?
Jesus.
It does. It's so cool when you look out and a lot of things and a lot of nature things remind us of God, and they remind us of Jesus. So what do you think the red stands for? His blood he shed on the cross. Why did he do that? To save us and to wipe our sins away, right? To save us from our sins. That's right. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So that red reminds us of his blood. What about the white? What do you think the white reminds us of? That he washed our sins away. That is right. He washed them away. When we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, that's what he does. You were washed. Now the blue. What do you think about blue? Huh? Miracles? That could be. Anything else? Any other ideas?
Water.
Water, yep. That reminds us of water. Well, it also reminds us of God's faithfulness. He is faithful. Everything he said in this word, he's doing, and he has done. It reminds us, too, that even though Jesus' blood washed us clean, we're forgiven. Every time, then, if we make a mistake or if we sin, do the wrong thing, we just go to Jesus, and we confess our sins, it says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he will forgive us. He's faithful. So these things, when we remember the flag, and as we did a lot this week, and as we do on other celebrations, and even when you go back to school, what do you do with this every day?
The Pledge of Allegiance,
right. We do. But let's also, huh?
You stand up.
You stand up?
Where does not have your space?
You do. Where do you put your hand? On your heart. There you go. You got it there. Right. Well, let us also remember when we look at flags around and we think about this week and with Independence Day, the 4th of July, who do we think of?
God.
Jesus, right? God and Jesus. All right, let's pray. Fold your hands, close your eyes. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful that we live in the United States of America. We thank you for all of those who have gone before us and have sacrificed their lives even for our freedom. We thank you, Father, for loving each one of us and giving us Jesus, who did die on the cross, who did wash away our sins, who forgave us. You forgave us, God. And we thank you that we can run to you every time we turn away. You're always there. You're faithful. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to shine your light to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Mm-hmm. 387, we'll sing 387. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. We'll sing it through twice. Holy Spirit of God, you are welcome always. Without you, we would be nothing. Without Jesus, as Jesus, you told us in your word, without me, you can do nothing. In you, we can do all things. And so, with the Spirit of the living God, without your presence in our midst, we're just going through motions. But with your presence, you change us. You work in us mightily by your Spirit and through your word. And so we surrender to you again this morning, to your word, and say, live in us and shine through us and fill us to overflowing. And I ask, Father, that you would speak through me to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 2. So we're taking a break today on the 23rd Psalm. I had planned, we'll pick it up next Sunday. After last Sunday, it was my turn. Some of you were there at the park. A lot of you weren't able to be for various reasons. And many had asked, can you do that message again? Excuse me, my throat cooperates. Partly so it could be recorded. So I said, okay. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18 is the text. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling, without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen. Now, I do have to say before I jump into this, that if you get the Freeman Courier, and if you were there, you saw that Jeremy Waltner, the editor, was there, and he did a very good job covering the message in the paper. He really did. So maybe this is your third time to get it, although he didn't get over everything. And this will, it'll be a lot the same, maybe not all, but that's okay. So this last Tuesday, we celebrated our nation's 247th birthday. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Three more years will be 250. I mentioned on Sunday that at our nation's 200th birthday, I was just 14 years old. And at that time, 7-Up did a deal with their pop cans. There are 50 of them here. There is one for every state. On the back side is a picture. This happens to be Wyoming. It's not the 50th state to come into the Union. So on the back is that. And then there is a number. And on this bottom right here is the map. If you had all 50 cans of the states and you stack it up like this, the ones up close can probably see. Can you see the picture? Who's on there?
Mr. Sam.
You're right. Uncle Sam. Mr. Uncle Sam. Yeah, I want you. That's the picture that all those dots put out. These weren't even aluminum cans in that day. And South Dakota is right here, this one, if you want to know. But I'm going to tell you, I dug through a whole lot of trash cans trying to find all 50 of those cans. And I'd look in stores individually I don't have that one or that one. And, you know, I did not really care for 7-Up then. I do a little more now, but you know why I didn't? Because every time we were sick, that's what we had to drink. 7-Up as kids. I was like, whoa, had enough of that as a child. So I dug it out in the basement, and there it is. I'll take it down today, but just thought if you want to look at it closer after church, you sure can. So, as I said, as we celebrate our nation's birthday and the freedoms that we enjoy, that we are blessed with incredibly, we all know, we hear the phrase over and over again that freedom is not free, and it isn't. We hear it naturally speaking. We know it spiritually speaking. Anne talked about it with the children. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom to live in Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then naturally speaking, we think of as Googled it from the Revolutionary War up through today. It's well over 1 million men and women who have lost their lives in serving for our freedoms, serving in battle. Think of the millions that served and were able to come home, men and women. And I just have to mention again, Stella Nuss, she was 102. She went home to be with the Lord just on May 21st of this year. A dear, precious lady. And Sam, her husband, was a World War II vet. And Stella never told this story to me anyway about herself, and she probably wouldn't. I didn't learn it until her passing, that there was 1 year or part of a year during World War II when Sam was overseas in Germany fighting And she was doing a Rosie the Riveter job. I don't exactly know where that was here in the Midwest, but her job was to inspect the rivets for the tanks, the airplanes. Sorry, I drew a blank there. And one day her supervisor came by. They had a bucket by each of the ladies had a bucket where the rejects went into. One day the supervisor came by and said, "Stella, how come is it you have the most rejects of any working in here?" And she said, "Because I want our boys to come home safely." And he said, "I know, and I know your husband is over there." And so there was people there at home doing their part too, as there always is. So we ask, why has God blessed America so much? And the answer is very simple to see. It is because we are a nation that was founded upon God's word, the living and enduring word of God. There's books written by the founding fathers, the 56 that signed the Declaration of Independence. I was going to look this up again. I didn't say it last Sunday, but I think it's like 2/3 of those men were ordained ministers for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they all wrote freely about their faith in God and their stance on his word. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., and you see the monuments, the scriptures engraved upon most all of them. So it's easy to see, even though people want to take that out of our history. And the devil is behind that. This was a quote from, I get an email weekly from this American Renewal Project. And this came just in the middle of June. I'm going to read just part of it. The man said, "At this moment, it is safe to say that modern-day America will have to rediscover the chart and compass used by the founders to establish freedom and liberty." Well, what was the chart and compass? God's word. That was the chart and compass. "Used to establish freedom and liberty with its concentration and emphasis on religion and morality. That is, if the nation is to make it through. Throughout the 17th, 18th, and much of the 19th century, Christians, believers, were manning," that means they were in control of the spiritual, intellectual, educational, economic, vocational, and cultural levers of power. Although never a perfect nation, the union of church and state caused few, if any, issues. However, unfortunately, that has changed." And it has. You look at the many of the what we call Ivy League universities, Harvard, Yale. They were all schools founded by the church in New England, founded upon God's word, and now they are so far away from God's word, 180 degrees turn they have taken. So God's challenge to us throughout his word is always do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Paul told the church of Rome that. They were in the midst of under the Roman Empire. It was very affluent in its day. The wealth, the luxury, the sinfulness, lasciviousness maybe would be the word. And he's telling them, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 2, the passage of the scripture, he starts out to that church in Philippi. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God. It's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." What God has done on the inside when we were born again, all the blessings that he's placed within our spirit being, we have to work and cooperate with him, his word, his spirit, for that to show up on the outside of our lives. We don't work to get saved because salvation is a free gift. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, through scripture alone, to God alone be all the glory. God, it's God who works in you. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, what? Will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The day that Jesus returns. He keeps working in us. He's patient with us, wanting us to grow in him. It's not an instant thing. It's a continual process all of our lives. So why? Why is God working in you, in me? Passage goes on in verse 15 of Philippians. It says he wants us to shine like stars in the universe, in the midst, in the middle of a crooked and depraved generation. That this was written 2,000 years ago. There's always this that goes on. It's not new. Sometimes it increases, which seems to be today, but it's always there. He wants us to shine like stars in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation as what? As we hold out the word of life right here. We take it, we stand upon it, we preach it. Even when it's not popular, we declare it. We have to. He wants us to shine like stars. The Amplified Bible, it says, among whom you are seen as bright lights, beacons, shining out clearly in the world of darkness, holding out and offering to everyone the word of life. I shared the Wednesday night, the 28th of June, that we flew back from Arizona, and we had our vehicle parked at Mark's house, my brother, because we were gone 8 or 9 days, whatever it was, and he took us to the airport. And then the vehicle was at his place in Sioux Falls, which is about 15 minutes from the airport. However, they and all their family were gone that time when we came back. I said, well, just get a taxi, which I couldn't even tell you the last time I rode in a taxi. I'm not set up to do Uber, so whatever. Anyway, he gets us, probably a guy about our age, and very nice. We're in the back seat, of course. He's in front. He's telling us sort of his life story. They used to live in the cities, and 3 years ago they moved right before COVID hit, moved to Sioux Falls, didn't really know what they were going to do, started this business. Him and his wife are the owner of this taxi cab business. We're just listening, just listening. He's talking all the way, asking questions. We to him, we never said one thing about the Lord, church, religion, nothing. Finally, we get within just a couple minutes of Mark's house, and he just blurts out, yeah, I just told my wife the other day, you know, we're getting older and we really need to find a church here in Sioux Falls. I said, well, I'm a pastor. He's like, oh. It's like, you know how that's in his mind and that's the Holy Spirit working, but you know how some things we just put off and put off? That was sort of how I took his response. Why did he say that? I don't know, not because of who we are, but hopefully the Holy Spirit was shining through us some, and he was just prompted to say that out of his mouth. And he just did that. Oh, I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. I said it again. He's like, here in Sioux Falls, no, an hour out. But I can tell you where my twin brother goes to church. Well, where's that? I told him, Faith Baptist up there, 57th in Minnesota. And then he, oh, well, okay, I'm going to tell my wife that. And he asked two more times before we got to Mark's house. and I told him again. And Mark's are just now getting back from their trip, so I will sick my brother upon him. So shine, shine. Maybe you don't even know that you're shining, right? We're just minding our own business. I was thinking of the song by the Newsboys called Shine, right? You know, it's an upbeat song, just the chorus. It says, shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Here, you know, some of those words are hard to catch. I always thought they were singing on the outside looking in till I, oh, looking bored, okay. Then it says, shine, let it shine before all men. Let them see good works, and then let them glorify the Lord. Shine, right? We had that phrase in Mighty to Save, shine your light, let the whole world see. We sing that and we pray that. Because Paul had said also to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, he said, mark this. In the last days, we are in the last days. We are. What does that mean? Jesus is coming today? He could. Tomorrow? He sure could. Could be next year. Could be 10 years down the road. I don't know, but I'm telling you, everything is so lining up from prophecy for his return to happen. It is like right there. Right there. What does he say in Timothy? Mark this, in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. And then he goes on, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents. That's just six things listed. But if you read those verses in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he lists 19 characteristics of the godlessness that will increase in these last days. And you read them through and you can see them. That's why we got to shine. Because every generation has got to come to know Jesus Christ for themselves. That's why I said we got to be children of God without fault. Well, we're not perfect, we know that. We're forgiven, washed in the blood, and we have to be. In the midst of a crooked and depraved generation, and that's not, I'm not putting people down, it's just how it is. When people don't know Christ, sin reigns, it takes over, doesn't it? In which you shine like stars in the universe. Jesus, in John 3:19, he said, this is the verdict. This is Jesus talking. Light has come into the world, talking about himself. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. When I think of that verse, I bet this goes probably for any pastor. How many times over the years, as I have talked to people here and there, maybe who don't go to church, maybe who did, but for whatever reason they're not, and I'll say, why don't you come back to church? You know, we miss you there. You need to come. Oh, Pastor Mike, I'm telling you, if I walked in there, lightning would strike. I'm like, no, it wouldn't. No, I'm not coming because my sin is so great. No, that's why we need to be here. We are all sinners. It's usually my response. Will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has done through God. So, how can we be a different kind of end times people? As we live in this time where darkness seems to always be increasing and immorality seems to be getting worse and worse, and it's just like we shake our heads at it when we see what's going on. Well, Jesus, light of the world, God himself in the flesh, there were people that didn't like him either, didn't want his message, didn't want the truth. They nailed him to the cross. We have to learn. How do we be different kind of end times people? We learn, one, from the period of the judges. Now, if you're doing that in your outline, there's a period of the blank, and I think period of the judges, so that shouldn't have been on there. The blank is judges, okay? We learn from the period of the judges. That was in the Old Testament. Before King Saul was anointed, the first king of Israel, and it was a rough time, that period of 300-400 years, I believe it was. Four times in the book of Judges, it says this phrase, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Now, I'm going to try with you today, see if you can be louder than they were at the park on Sunday, okay? When I say, in those days, Israel had no king, your response should be back, Everyone did as he saw fit. I'm going to say it four times. So Judges 17:6. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Right. Judges 18:1. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did. Judges 19:1. In those days, Israel had no king. And Judges 21, verse 25, the last verse of the book of Judges. In those days, Israel had no king. Yes, right. Listen to this two-sentence thing in an email. This, I just not heard of this group. It's TPUSA, Turning Point USA. It's not David Jeremiah's ministry, I don't think, Turning Point. It's different. But it was so good. It said this: when everyone becomes their own God and does what is right in their own eyes, darkness and wickedness begin to corrupt everything. And it does. It does. The bulletin cover from last Sunday, that's why I read that verse at offering time, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. What are we supposed to do? Number one, shine like stars in the universe. Just let him shine through you. Let him shine. Doesn't even have to be with words always. Another example, we're in the airport in Phoenix, big airport. Getting ready to fly home, so the lines are long. You know, you do all this stuff with your own luggage by these kiosks, which is not easy. We got it done with help. In line, here's this young family in front of us, mom, dad, three children, maybe middle school and on down. And lines ahead and lines behind, and one of those little girls had a cup of Starbucks, whatever, cappuccino, something. And I didn't see it happen until splat all over the floor. And it was nearly full, the cup. And I give that mother and father great credit because I don't think I would have reacted as kindly as they did. The dad's like, okay, to the girl, all right, I need you to go over that counter, ask for some paper towels or something. Which counter? See that counter? Go over there. She's, you know, scared. Just go over there. Well, I had a few Kleenex in my pocket. I hand it to him, and the dad's down there trying to wipe a whole cup full and wring out the Kleenex in the trash can. And finally, the girl comes back with a handful, and they get it cleaned up, except probably not the stickiness, because everybody's going to walk through it, you know. And the mom's there now because she was trying to find paper towels, and she says, all right, kids, you know what? That's all right. If that's the biggest challenge we have of today, it's all right. And so, you know, I'm just watching, and then they were going on in line, and so then what? I said, well, where are you guys from? Where are you going? Oh, we live in Phoenix. We're going to, I think, Seattle, and so on. And one of them had a Christian T-shirt on, I think, to cause me to say something about their faith. And so, well, that just opens the door. Yeah, we went to Christian school in Phoenix. Our kids go to Christian school. And so even without them saying a thing, their light was shining through their actions. So shine like stars in the universe in the midst of a crooked and perverse, depraved generation. As you hold out the word, this is the word of life. This is what we stand upon. Second, be diligent in raising our families in God's word. It has to be intentional in this, more than ever, in this day in which we live. I said this quote last Sunday that as goes the family, so goes the nation. And it is so true. And that's why Satan tries so hard to destroy the family, to tear it up, to get the families out of church and out of Sunday school and all. And it needs to be in the home during the week as well. Third, got to stand for the life of the unborn. We absolutely have to do that. Zoe Care, it's what they're doing. Alpha Center, It's what they're doing. We have all kinds of ways to help. Nations were judged in the Old Testament for sacrificing their children to the false gods. Fourth, don't join in the world system with the craziness of their thinking about sexuality. And it just gets worse and worse all the time. Jesus said in Matthew 19:4-5, he's quoting from Genesis. "Haven't you read," he replied, "at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason man shall leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, the two will become one flesh." Now, after the message at the park on Sunday, I had a grandma come up to me, not from Menno, not from the immediate area, okay? So don't need to try to guess. Grandpa and grandma were there. They had their granddaughter with them, who was a young teenage girl. Grandma came up. The granddaughter wasn't there. She said, "Pastor Mike, thank you for sharing and saying what you did about sexuality, which, and in this whole transgender garbage. My daughter," she didn't say her age, but my granddaughter, "but I saw her in the service earlier on," that's why I say young teenager, "says she is gender fluid, and we are praying for her. Thank you for speaking on that subject. I was praying on the way down. I knew you were going to be talking. I was praying that you would speak to that very issue." And again, she was just grateful. I said, "Just keep praying. I imagine you're going to have some conversation on the way home in your car." When I got home, I had to, okay, what's gender fluid? It just gets, and I'm not making fun of it, but it gets ridiculous. Gender fluid, maybe you all know, it means, well, sometimes I think I'm male in gender, and then sometimes I think I'm female in gender, and sometimes I don't know what I am. That's what gender fluid means. You're moving from back and forth in this. And how can a 13, 14-year-old person even know that? And so the fifth point was speak the truth in love. So yeah, I'm not saying this to condemn. It grieves, I would think, all of our hearts that, you know, yeah, can there be, what, weaknesses in these areas? Yeah, but that doesn't mean, just like anything else, as we raise our children, it doesn't mean we let our kids do whatever they want to do. You let your kids eat whatever they want to eat? All the garbage? No. Do you let them just waste their money on whatever? You guide them and direct them through life. You tell them, "No, but I want this. At the game the other night, there was a pretty cute puppy poodle there. Some of you know who I'm talking about. It was, I think, 6 weeks old or something, and it was this big. I said, "That's going to be one of those full-size, whatever poodles they call them." "And Mom, we want this poodle. Mom. "No, we're not having the poodle. "Well, ask Dad. So, you know, Mom calls Dad. Good call. And whatever Dad said, we can't hear, but the response was, "Dad said no." And I imagine he did. So then the kids went on their way. No, we don't get everything we want because the desires, and so I'm comparing it to this. Isaiah 45:9, listen what God is saying. This is from the New Living Translation. "Destruction is certain for those who argue with their creator. Does the clay pot," that's us, "ever argue with its maker," that's God? "Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, 'Stop, you are doing it wrong'? Does the pot exclaim, to its maker. How clumsy you are. The answer to all those questions is no, no, no. And that's what's happening with this. And it seems so easy to see, doesn't it? But we pray, we pray, we pray. All right. Let me close with these two quotes, three quotes. I had two on Sunday. I got one more today. From our nation, okay? Let's go back to Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president. So he, 1923, 100 years ago exactly. You know what he said 100 years ago? The foundation of our society and government rests so much on the teaching of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. In other words, if this would be done away with, he was saying, we're going to have trouble. Work in a democracy. Democracy is founded to work on God's word. Ronald Reagan, 40th president, 1981 to 89. I believe with all my heart that standing up for America means standing up for the God who has so blessed our land. We need God's help to guide our nation through stormy seas, but we cannot expect him to protect America in a crisis if we just leave him over on the shelf in our day-to-day living. Third quote, Oliver Amundsen. Fred and Ann Schultz used to go to this man's church in Yankton. He's not living now. This is an amazing book. I tell you, he was a prisoner of war for 19 months over in Nazi Germany, World War II. But the part I want to share with you, just makes me tear up how far we seem to have fallen. 1941, when the troops were going off to World War II, the president had called upon the Gideons to issue New Testaments to all the service men and women going. And this was the letter from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. To the armed forces, as commander-in-chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces of the United States. Throughout the centuries, men of many faiths and diverse origins have found in the sacred book words of wisdom, counsel, and inspiration. It is a fountain of strength and now, as always, an aid in attaining the highest aspirations of the human soul. That was from our president in 1941. Isn't that beautiful? And he kept that through that whole time as a prisoner of war. I've read this a long time ago. It's an amazing account of his life and his faith in God that brought him through 19 months of that terrible time. So, the last verse, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, sisters, were called to be free. However, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. You guide us, you instruct us in every area of our lives. We are far from perfect, and we know it. We pray for our nation, Lord. We need to get back to the original chart and compass, your word that we were founded upon. In the natural, it seems so far away, so hard to do. But Lord, throughout history and ancient times, you've done it with Israel and other nations where you turned them in a moment back to you. And that's what we need, and that's what we're asking for. Revival in our hearts, in our churches, in our land. Thank you for your blessings upon our nation, which are incredible. We are grateful for them all and thankful to live here, the land of the free. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you for listening to it a second time for those of you that did. The closing hymn will be out of the praise book, 10,000 Reasons. 120, let's stand together, please. We have so many reasons to praise him for.
sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing with the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. So many, 10,000 reasons and then beyond. We say thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, for your forgiveness in our lives and your mercy and grace each day. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul lives in your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. So we do. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you,
beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And let's sing, if you're good, for one more song as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. Wonderful day. Thank you, Marina, for the music. If you want to come look at the cans closer, you can. Just don't knock them down.